Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Leviticus chapter 27, starting in verse 1, ending the book in verse 34, where he is talking about taking our commitment to Jesus seriously. More on that now. Let's finish the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave Tomaso.
He moves on from beings to beast in verse 9, and he says, if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man give of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good. God certainly knows our character. He says, and if he shall at all change, middle of verse 10, beast for beast, then it in the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest. And the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it, who art thou a priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, verse 13, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. So a 20% charge for seeking to redeem it. Moving on, verse 14. And when a man shall sanctify his house, men, ladies, how important it is to do, to sanctify your house, the place that you live, to say, Jesus, I want this to be your house. I want this to be your home. And all the homes that Sean and I have owned, all two of them, we have done that. We have gone in every room of the house, every nook and cranny of the house, the closets of the house, and we've literally prayed, Lord Jesus, if there's any type of demonic presence here, any type of evil spirit here, influence here from the past, we just ask that you'd cleanse it, and we ask that you'd fill it with your presence, with your holiness, with your light. How important it is to sanctify, to ask the Lord to set apart your abode, the place that you lay your head, that you say, Jesus, this would be your home. That your house would be the house of the Lord. I think of Joshua as he spoke to the children of Israel. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And how important it is that your home is a place where Jesus is honored, where Jesus is glorified, where his name is being lifted up, where his name is being talked about, where he sanctifies the believer's house. And he says there, when a man shall sanctify, verse 14, his house to be holy unto the Lord, which means that nonsense, things of darkness and evil can't be going on there. Drinking fests, pornography on TV and the computers, nonsense, garbage music where there's swear words and cussing and vulgarity coming through the speakers of your home. He's saying if it's going to be a house that's sanctified to me, then it needs to be holy. You can't have things going on in the home that would grieve the presence of the Lord. There can't be foul play. There can't be perversion taking place there. There can't be sin abounding there if you want the presence of Jesus to remain. So very important for those of you men that are here tonight, you spiritual leaders, for those of you ladies, you don't have a man in your life. Well, you have the man in your life, Jesus Christ, and seek to honor him. He is your husband. Very important as we look at this here. He says, it needs to be holy to the Lord, middle of verse 14, so that then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he sanctifies it, he will redeem his house. Then he shall add, end of verse 15, the fifth part of thy money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field, or his firstborn, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. A homer for barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he sanctifies his field from the year of Jubilee, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field, verse 18, after the jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the jubilee, and it shall be abated, King James says, or better translated would be deducted from thy estimation. And if he, verse 19, that sanctify the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And verse 20, if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. But the field, verse 21, when it goes out in the jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man, verse 22, sanctify unto the Lord a field which he has bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of the jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of the jubilee, verse 24, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him whom the possession of the land did belong. So, for some of these things concerning jubilee here, we've already covered them. The year of jubilee, remember, all land was restored, all debts were forgiven, all credit cards were paid off. It was a clean start. And what he's saying here then is he's kind of giving them the parameters to work around with the dedication of the land to the Lord based on how near and far it was from the year of jubilee. That's the determination of the cost of what was being given to the Lord to redeem it. So again, these are just laws that God has given to his people. I understand it's technical and not so much pertainable to you and I here tonight, but he's just showing them, listen, this is not obligatory. This is simply voluntary. If you're going to give to me of a human being, if you're going to give to me of a beast, if you're going to give to me of your home, if you're going to give to me of the land because you love me and you're so appreciative of me, then that's great and I welcome it and I'm blessed by it. But if you retract in your giving, there's going to be a cost to it. There's going to be a charge from heaven for it. There's going to even be an interest added on top of it, 20% for many of these things. So I really just feel like God is encouraging the people of old and those of us here tonight just to take our commitment to Jesus and to serving Jesus seriously. To just really, you know, when we go to do something for him, to really seek him for the strength and the grace to persevere, to keep going, to not get discouraged, not become heavy laden, to recognize, man, Lord, what I'm doing back for you or what I'm giving back to you is so small in comparison of what you've done for me on the cross of Calvary. So these are really essentially the things that the Lord is ministering to us, and I think that he's trying to make clear here too that the basic principle through all of this is that true worship must be voluntary. That if we're going to come to the Lord and give him the glory that's due to his name, it's not to be forced, but rather something that you want to do. Something that I want to do this because God has been so good to me. He died on the cross for my sins. He's forgiven me. There is no record in heaven of all my wrongdoings. I'm going there one day. I'm going to be with him. He's given me a blessed life here. He's just continually showering me with things that I don't deserve. I want to serve the Lord. I want to give back to the Lord. And the Lord is saying, that's the type of heart of a worshiper that I want to come before me. Somebody who wants to lift their hands, not somebody who has to be told to lift their hands. Somebody who wants to say amen, not somebody who has to be told to say amen. Somebody who wants to sign up on the servant needed sheets, not somebody who has to be told to sign up on the servant needed sheets. Just somebody who, where the work of God's Spirit is so alive in the person's life that it's just natural in their response. Now, if you're here tonight, to try to keep you with me as we move through this remaining chapter, if you're here tonight, and you really know the Lord, you really have tasted and seen of his goodness, this will be your approach. This will be your attitude. It's inevitable for the lover of Jesus. It will be, you'll come to a place, maybe you're at that place of, what can I do back for my Lord? What can I do for the Lord in serving him? What can I give to him? What are the needs? How can I bless him? He's so worthy. That should be the path that you find yourself on as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you don't feel that way, if you don't feel humbled to be in his presence, if you don't feel, you know, just this urgency to serve him and to give back to him and to bless him through your life, then there's probably something wrong in your relationship with him. You probably aren't experiencing much of his presence in your life. You probably aren't tasting of him regularly, because the natural result is to be, man, God, I want to go all out for you. I want to give more to you, be more about, you know, living for you. That's the natural result of a believer in Jesus Christ. And so just showing us here that that's the type of worshiper he wants, and in committing to Jesus, be serious about it. You sign up to serve. You're going to teach a children's church class. Teach the children's church. Lou makes teaching so easy back there. He has people on schedules. There's not even every week. Some of you are, I understand. But for a lot of folks, he'll work with you. It doesn't always have to be every week. You know, he helps put together lesson plans for the younger children. You know, the servant overseers here in this fellowship are very gracious. And they want to work with you. They want to see you be a part of the ministry here to fulfill the role and the place that God has for you. And God's just saying, as you step up to the plate, just be serious about it. Just be serious in your commitment to the King. Remember that we do all things for the glory of Jesus. We are doing all that we do here for his glory, for his honor. We're not doing it for man. We're not doing it for Calvary Chapel. We're doing it for Jesus. And when you have that approach, it causes you to be on time to your post. It causes you to not call in sick or to say, I won't be there tonight, I stubbed my toe. It causes you to think twice before you don't show. It sort of kind of drives you, for lack of better words, pushes you to be serious about what it is that God has put in front of you. So just a word of exhortation from Leviticus 27. Moving along here, verse 25. He says, in all your estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerah shall be the shekel. Now, as we enter into this last section of this book, we'll be done in just a few minutes, so stay with me here. Verses 26 through 34, we're going to see here as he closes this instruction here of how to redeem something that you've given to God that you no longer want to give to him. He's going to close this section by listing three things that are unredeemable. He's going to give us three things that you cannot redeem. These are God's. You can't redeem them. You can't take them back. You can't claim them as a gift. They are already God's. And in this closing section, there will certainly be application for you tonight. So keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on your Bibles. Follow along as we finish up here these remaining verses of the book of Leviticus. He says, first of all, verse 26, only the firstling or the firstborn of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be an ox or sheep. Why? Because it is the Lord's. So you can't say to God, God, you've been so good, I'm going to vow to you, I'm going to dedicate to you, I'm going to give you the firstborn of my sheep or ox. God would say, don't try doing shady business with me like that. The firstborn is mine anyways. And this takes us all the way back to Exodus 12 at the Passover, when the Lord allowed the provision of the firstborn there to remember, as he would have, it took place, the firstborn in Israel, the Passover, where the blood of the lamb redeemed that firstborn from judgment. If the Israelites or the Egyptians, anyone in the land, would put the blood of the sacrifice on their doorposts or on their lentils. Remember, the angel of death would pass over that home. Otherwise, if the blood wasn't applied, the firstborn would be killed. So God is saying, don't try playing that game with me. Don't try giving me something back that I've already claimed, that is already mine. The firstborn of all your animals is unredeemable, Bible students. So don't try doing these things with me. Don't try ripping me off, is what the Lord is saying. It's amazing that he has to stoop to this level to give us this type of instruction. You know this is here because he knows the ins and outs of us, don't you? He knows the way that we think. Okay, I'm going to give this to God. It would be as though I leave here tonight and somebody scandalous went in my office, took my 1999 Saturn coupe keys, because you're so jealous over it, and you took my keys, you went to my car, and you drove around the parking lot and pulled up right to the front there. You go and get it washed at Buckman's. You get all cleaned up. You get it waxed. I don't even know if it does any good waxing a plastic car, but you do it anyways. You bring it up. You pull it right in the front. And I come out there after service like I do every week to greet the people. And you get out of the car, dangling the keys, and say, look what I got for you. Now, I'm going to say, what do you mean, look what you got for me? That's my car. How did you get my keys? Why did you get my keys? You know, why would you go get my car? And what do you mean, look what I got for you? And you would say, no, this is my gift to you. I got this for you. This is for you. That would be absolutely ludicrous, wouldn't it? It's already mine. It already belongs to me. I already have ownership over it. It's no gift at all. That's not blessing me. If you want to bless me, you'll go drive that car into the canal, hop out first, of course, and then, you know, give me a new truck. That's what I've been telling you guys for all these years, you know. They're not that. But it wouldn't bless me because it's already mine. I already have ownership over it. It wouldn't be a gift to me. So God is saying, that's really a way of illustrating. God is saying, this is the same thing here. Don't try to play these games with me and bring me an animal that's firstborn. The animal that's firstborn is already mine. That doesn't count. So therefore, you can't redeem it. There is no redemptive price for it. It's already mine. And if it be, verse 27, of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add 20% or a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, verse 28, he's going to give us the second thing that's unredeemable. No devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he has, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy, which means set apart, unto the Lord. So God is saying the second thing that is unredeemable after the firstborn of the beast, of the lamb, is then those things that God sets aside for himself. An example, the spoils from the war with Jericho, Joshua chapter 6 and 7. You go and you look at that portion of scripture, God explicitly told Joshua and all of the Israelites, once you have victory over Jericho, that city that you march around and blow the trumpet and the walls come tumbling down, once you have victory, great victory, because of me over that city, don't take the spoils. They are accursed. It says in the King James, but the word accursed means they are devoted. They're mine. The spoils are mine. They're not for you. The treasures, the things that you discover there in that land, they're not for you to take. Joshua chapter 7, Achan took them, hid them under his tent. They went to go fight against this little insignificant city of Ai, and they got their butts kicked. Remember that. And Joshua doesn't understand. He gets before God. He says, God, what's happened here? Why did we just lose to this insignificant people when we just, you know, beat Jericho, which was huge in comparison? What went wrong? And the Lord says, there's sin in Israel. There's sin in the camp. And until God dealt with it, there would not be victory. And what it was that Achan and his family, under their tent, hid the treasures of Jericho that God forbid. He said, those spoils, those things are devoted to me. So God takes it seriously here. He says, when things are devoted to me, when I put my name on something, when I claim it, you can't give those things to me, and nor can you redeem them back from me. I've claimed them. They're mine. And just because he's God, he can. He can do that. He can say that. And so that's what he's speaking of here. And again, Joshua 6 and 7 are good cross-references for you Bible students for verse 28. He goes on in verse 29 to say this, none devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Just ask Achan. Verse 30, and all the tithe, the only time the word tithe is mentioned in the book of Leviticus, and all the tithe, which means a tenth or 10% of the land, whether of the seed or of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. You cannot say, God, here's your tithe, and expect credit for that. Rather, my conviction, and you can argue with somebody who cares after service, but is in not giving 10% to the Lord, you're actually robbing the Lord from what is justly and rightly his. You can't say, God is saying, here's 10% of my income. And so here, God, here's my gift to you. God's saying, that's not your gift. That's your rightful duty. That belongs to me. The tenth is mine. And what blows me away is that's all that he asked for. He says, so that's not a gift. You can't applaud yourself for a gift, and you certainly can't redeem the tenth, because the tenth is mine off the top, by the way. Not after taxes are taken out, not after child support is paid, not after your mortgage is paid, not after your bills are paid. Now, before I move from this, I do want to hit this for a moment, or two or three. A lot of people ask about tithing. A lot of people ask, I'm going to give you my conviction, and you can go home and be Bible students and do what you want with this. I don't even believe that tithing really even pertains to us as New Testament saints. I don't believe that, as far as I see as a Bible student, in my understanding of scriptures, tithing isn't even really mentioned in the New Testament, other than Abraham tithing to Melchizedek. But as far as being instructional to you and I, Paul says that we are to give. Giving is mentioned, and it's mentioned along the context of giving with a cheerful heart. Giving with a cheerful heart. I believe, personally, that 10% should just be the starting point. I believe that that should just be the base point that we work off. Based on the principle of this, you can never outgive God. I don't believe that, you know, we should be legalistic with this. If you don't give 10% here tonight, I don't believe that God is less pleased with you. Perhaps you're in a really bad place and you can't find a job and you're sincerely seeking a job and you're doing everything that you can to scrape up pennies here. I think that God is gracious, and I think that God is much more interested in the servant than he is the service. He's much more interested in you than he is your wallet. And I think that if for the season that you're in, the time that you're in, if you're giving back to God or you're devoting to God, it has to be you coming into the church and vacuuming and cleaning and washing windows. I think that God is just as pleased with that as he is with somebody who makes $100,000 a year and gives $10,000 a month. You see, I think we need to be very careful here, because we can become very pharisaical. We can become very just religious snobs. If we begin to act and treat the scriptures as this, I cross all my T's, I dot all my I's, I give 10% plus some, so I'm good. Tithing's not even mentioned in the New Testament. I think that it's a starting point. I think it's a base point. We personally, I'm not going to give you my numbers and my percentages because I'm not good enough at math, but we treat it as a starting point, me and Shauna in our house. And I'm telling you that God has absolutely 100% outblessed us all day long. You cannot outgive God, as we've talked about for moving through this book. He will absolutely open up the windows of heaven and just pour out his abundant blessings all over your life. The scriptures are clear. He will be no man's debtor. Never. He won't be. He's always the initiator. We are always the responders. Now, if you are in a place of being able to financially give to God and you're not, and you're having financial woes and troubles, hello, you're robbing from God. You're ripping God off. How much are you supposed to give? That's between you and the Lord. You're supposed to give as much as you can with a cheerful heart. And if you're giving grudgingly, God says, keep it. God says, don't even give it, because I'm not blessed by it and I won't reward you for it. Now, let me say this before we move past this verse. If God puts a number on your heart that stretches you and tries you a little bit, don't mislabel that as, well, I'm not comfortable, so I'm not going to give it.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150, or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.